As we've been going through the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, we've seen how important it is to look at this picture that it's indeed God's armor. That it's a picture where the believer, they go to the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to the Lord God Himself, they pick up His armor, the armor that He's provided, they pick up those pieces and they put them on so that they're able to resist the devil. And we've been seeing that the source of the armor, that it's God Himself. Also from the book of Isaiah, we saw that those pictures of the armor are there already, and that it would be the Lord Jesus who would come armed with that armor. So we need to remember, it's God's armor. He's the source. He's the provider. And yet, by the Holy Spirit, we're being given a picture of how we're to put on this armor. It's a very activistic picture. It's about taking a stand. It's about getting to work. It's about being very practical about how we face the temptations and the onslaughts of the devil. It requires going to the Lord. It requires going back to the Bible. It means being equipped. It means learning the truth, believing it, trusting His Word, reinforcing our lives. We saw last week with practical righteousness. We looked at that breastplate, covering and protecting from Satan's attacks by being holy. Being a Christian soldier, it's hard. It's difficult to resist Satan's attacks by being holy. But there's a great comfort. And that comfort is that the Lord, by His Word and His Spirit and through His church, that He equips us. He gives us this armory that through these verses we can walk into and we can put on each piece. We need to have the whole armor. You know, you can think that putting on a belt, we looked at 2 weeks ago, or putting on shoes, as we're looking at this week, you might think that's obvious, that's simplistic. Get to the sword and the shield. That's the real focus of warfare. But actually, we're going to see more and more that all of these things, like the belt, the shoes, and the breastplate, they all fit together in a full picture of being equipped, and they all interlink. And until you have even the basics, like the shoes of this gospel of peace, the feet shod with the gospel of peace, you can't swing a sword effectively or hold a shield effectively. So today we're going to look at something very foundational, really what's under our feet as a soldier of God, feet shod with the gospel of peace. We're going to look at the importance of being shod, and we're going to look at the practice of being shod. Well, we've seen the whole picture of the armor of God. It's rooted in that Old Testament book of Isaiah, where those various hints we've looked at, that the Lord Himself would come in this armor. And we've been looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as the ultimate example, again and again, of the way to put on armor. That the Lord Jesus Christ, He came, He was righteous, He came with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In His life, He was the ultimate and is the ultimate example of one bearing the armor. But at the same time, even though the ultimate picture of the armor carrier or the soldier is the Lord Himself, and that's the underlying picture, that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't use sort of relevant illustrations. When this was inspired by the Holy Spirit and Paul wrote this word, he's using a picture that's familiar to his readers. And the Ephesians, of course, when they read this, they were, by and large, most of that church, they were Roman people. And when they pictured this, they would have seen, indeed, a Roman soldier. That's the illustration that's being painted to them. The fundamental, the underlying picture we've been looking at is God Himself and His attributes, who He is, having the armor and being the source of the armor. But they would have seen this relevant illustration, this picture of a Roman soldier. And they would have looked at these verses and they would have imagined in their minds the soldiers of their days. And actually, the Roman soldier, he had pretty substantial sandals on his feet. When we think of sandals, we usually think of something you wear when you relax. In the summer, we wear them when it's cool and comfortable, and when we're at the beach or when we're just around the house. But the sandals of a warrior in this time, they were what we'd call substantial. Their soles were, actually the soles of those sandals were an inch thick almost, of leather. and there were many straps that were wound around the foot. And in colder weather, they would put fabric between, and then they'd wrap the fabric around the layers, and what you would basically end up with is a work boot. That's more the equivalent. Don't think of those flip-flops that you wear to the beach when you think of these sandals. Think of a work boot or an army boot. That's the equivalent that they would picture in their mind. And actually, those straps that you might have noticed, the pictures of a Roman soldier, you might wonder, why do those straps go up around his ankle? Well, if you watch an athlete at the Olympics, you might notice a lot of them. They actually tape their ankles. They wrap straps up around their ankles. And so this piece of equipment, it actually protected their ankles from rolling on uneven ground. And then, even more, Josephus, he's an old historian. He wrote at about the time of the Bible. He says that Roman soldiers, he describes the sandals, and he says they actually put metal nails into the bottom of the sandals. And so when we think about these sandals, don't think about that flip-flop. Think more, this is a picture of an army boot. This is, to us, this is military equipment. This is robust. This is strong. This is preparing the soldier for any kind of terrain. It's actually an ancient version of what we might call the jackboot. You know that in the World Wars, the German soldiers, when they would march down the street, they had those metal bits implanted into the soles of their boots. And when they marched down the street, you even hear some of the old videos, it was sort of a thundering crunch, crunch, crunch sound as they stamped down the street. And that intimidated their enemies. Well, the Romans, they had the same thing. They had these heavy sandals on and they would march down the streets and it would make this rhythmic pounding sound. And it was sort of symbolic of marching over enemies. And they would walk thousands of kilometers on those sandals. They would fight. It was an important, really a foundational part of their army. Of their armament, sorry. Now you might wonder. So here we have a picture of basically, in our culture, an army boot. What does that have to do with the gospel of peace? Or the preparation of the gospel of peace? Well, there's several places in the Bible, and we read one of them, Isaiah 52, where the idea is that a soldier in the time of war in those days, of course, they didn't broadcast by radio, they didn't have TVs, they didn't have walkie-talkies or cell phones, they actually sent a messenger. And that messenger would be a young man who was selected by the army, and the reason he was a messenger was because he was a good runner. We pick our best runners to go in the Olympics, they picked their best runners to bring messages. And so this runner who was naturally talented, he was the fastest guy in the army. Whether or not they had foot races to compare, I'm not sure, but they picked the best, the most talented runner, not the clumsy one, the thin and tall guy, undoubtedly, who was very light on his feet and who was able to run long distances. And the picture comes through the Old Testament of this runner. We read of it, Isaiah 52. You've got this city that's beat up and broken down and under siege. It's been under siege and there's a war. And the picture is that this runner comes, this marathon runner, and he runs over the horizon and they see him coming. And by his gait and his good running, the best runner, he'd be the Olympic gold medalist that they would send. They'd see him coming over the mountains, and by the way that he was running at the top speed and with a certain eagerness, they could tell this man's coming with good news. That's why, even though it sounds funny to us, that's why Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Just by seeing, you know, their gold medalist running, coming over the mountains, coming in the distance, and seeing the way he's running, they would say, "How beautiful, he's coming with good news." And there's a picture. That good news, that behind the word good news is the picture of a herald. Somebody coming with news, and that would often be a runner. Somebody who would come with eagerness and with speed, and his gift and his talent and his ability was to come and to run and to bring this news. You actually know that the idea of a marathon is basically the same idea. Marathon starts with The marathon starts with that Greek legend of a runner who ran that 40 kilometers from the battlefield to bring the good news of a victory. And that picture builds throughout the Bible. Somebody who's very gifted, blessed in running, comes and brings good news. It's actually even a picture of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus is the ultimate picture again of this. Matthew 3, verse 11. Remember what John the Baptist says about the Lord Jesus. This is him whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. The Lord Jesus was the ultimate example of a good news messenger coming and traveling around. And John the Baptist says, I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. This is the ultimate messenger of good news. And so the picture is that the Christian, though, is not so much necessarily a herald or a preacher or the one gifted to bring the message in the way some are more than others. But the picture is that the metaphor or the word picture, it's kind of turned here where the sandals, the gospel, becomes the foundation. It becomes what undergirds our feet. The good news becomes a picture of the motivation and the firm footing and the ability to carry out the task of fighting. The picture is, it's almost in a sense, the most fundamental thing we wear is our shoes. It's what keeps us healthy in a lot of different ways. What's under our feet, what we stand on, how we walk. If our feet are broken down and beat up, we're not going anywhere fast. Well, the picture is the gospel. It's your very foundation. You bind it onto your feet. And when you have the good news, you're able to run. You have the motivation. You have the strength. You have the new life in Jesus Christ that you're able to be mobile. You'll be a danger to yourself or others. You won't be going anywhere without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be convinced with this picture. You're told to put on these sandals, these boots, as it were. We should be convinced we need this. But now we have to answer the question, exactly what does this mean? How do we put on these shoes? We'll look at that secondly, the practice, how we put on the shoes of being shod. Well, the answer begins with the actual command. The word is literally tie under. We tell a child to tie their shoes and we think of tying the top part of our shoes. Well, the literal command here is tie the gospel under your feet. The straps were tied around the main part of the foot. But what's being tied under is actually the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so you see that the Apostle Paul, he's carried the word picture a little further. And what he's saying is not that this picture of these shoes of the gospel of peace is first about evangelism or bringing the gospel to others. That part of the spiritual warfare is actually more related to the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which comes later in the armor. But here it's actually a step of preparation. It's saying if you're going to be able to run and to face Satan and to be equipped and to be nimble and quick and able, you need to tie the gospel under your feet. You need to be ready for war by beginning with the gospel. So what the apostle is calling to do is he's saying, make sure you have the foundation for moving forward. That begins with the simple gospel. It means first, you must be born again. You must be converted. You must repent of your sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't put on this footwear unless you are a Christian. It can't be faked. Last week, we saw the futility, the foolishness of self-righteousness. If you tried to build a breastplate of your own prideful good works, that would be self-defeating. It would be foolish. But you know, if we do an honest self-assessment, and last week we went through the whole proof of why that breastplate of righteousness, it's practical righteousness, it's everyday righteousness, it's not so much the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ or the given righteousness. If we looked at our righteousness, we would certainly see that our breastplate, it's not as strong as it could be. We'd see areas of weakness and holes and gaps. We might even look further back at that belt of truth. And we saw that the belt of truth is really having a grasp of the truth of God's word, the truth of who he is. And you know, we might look at the way we've put on our armor. We might say, my grasp of truth is quite weak. Or maybe you even think you better not go into battle. Now, the ultimate answer is to think the armor is the armor of God. We must go to him. He will equip us. But you see, there's something about having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. It logically brings together this foundational picture, and it shows us, the picture here is, that without the gospel, you're going nowhere. With the gospel, you're well prepared. You can't run without it. You're not ready for war. But with the gospel undergirding you, even a weak, a struggling Christian, they can have the confidence of good footing, of being sure. They may feel that they have chinks in their armor, but they can still stand. And so this begs the simple question. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed? I'm a sinner. Against the God who's holy, I don't deserve anything more than hell. See, the good news is Jesus Christ paid the price. He conquered sin so that those that believe in him will live. And so it begins there. That's the very basic gospel. It's having it shod under your feet. It's kneading it firmly underneath you. And that's an ongoing practice. You tie on your shoes every day as an illustration. You need to keep putting on those shoes day after day. We need to go back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't think that we've outgrown it or we've become so perfect. We don't need to be reminded of the Lord Jesus. We don't need to put on that gospel day after day. Now imagine what a foolish mistake it would be to think you could go into war without binding on the gospel. Without good boots. Imagine the enemy is coming. You get your weapon ready. You put on your helmet or your body armor. And then you run out the door with bare feet. Through the woods and over the rocks and the gravel and the streams. And imagine getting into hand-to-hand combat in the trenches with the enemy. You'd be slow. You'd be ineffective. You'd be behind the others. If you had to face an enemy, you'd be slipping. You'd be sliding. You'd be pushed back on your heels, you'd be hurting your ankles, you'd be bruised, and before long you would fall and you would die. If you think of the real warfare, if you know anything of having been in a struggle, imagine any soldier trying to get anywhere with or without boots. See, the picture is the armor of God. You need it all. You need, if any one piece is missing, even as something as simple as what's under your feet, you'll be wounded, you'll be weakened, you'll be killed. And in a sense, your footwear is almost more important than anything else. So if you were in a real battlefield, your footwear could be seen to be absolutely critical. You're not going anywhere. You're not getting anywhere. You can't do anything without these boots on. You can't mount any effective attacks. You can't even run and hide if you had to retreat. You can't go this way or that way. You're dead. And the reality is if you don't have the shoes, you're lying dead in trespasses and sins. The only way you can stand in warfare against Satan is to have gospel footing. To begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice specifically, peace. It's the gospel of peace. The word peace was used in Isaiah 52. That was a picture there. It was a picture there that there were all these enemies and all this danger. But then there's this good news of peace. And the picture is when a person trusts in Jesus Christ, they're reconciled to God. They have peace with God. They're not at odds with the Lord God. Now they're at war with Satan. Imagine if one of those ancient messengers, he had wonderful news, an unexpected, a massive victory. Imagine what that meant for his motivation as a runner. You know, if you were headed back to your hometown, you were going to tell that town half the army was wiped out, and your son's dead, and your son's dead, and your father's dead, do you think you would leap and run and speed to get home to tell everybody that kind of news? Now imagine the motivation for a bearer of good news. All the families on the city would see him coming, and they'd be on the edge of their seats, and they'd come, and then they would realize this relief. Wonderful good news. There's peace. Their king had conquered. The armies had conquered. And see, you see the picture here. It's adjusted a little bit, but the picture is the gospel of peace. You have peace with the Lord God. You have this foundation, this way that you stand on that rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And with peace, you're well equipped. You have a clear conscience. Peace with God. And the picture of the good news is that you have this army. Yes, they're at war, but not with God. They're at war with Satan. And it's when we have a grasp of the gospel, an understanding of that peace with God, that clear conscience, that forgiveness of sins, that the Christian can run with a freedom and with a joy of knowing they have peace with God, that they're even a messenger of the good news. As Ephesians 2, verse 14 and 15 puts it, Christ himself is our peace. He's brought peace with God. There we were, rebels, sinners. And he came and he took our place and he reconciled us with God. And you see, when you have peace with God, that means you have a sure footing for war with Satan. You see, a person who's not in Jesus Christ, really they have enemies all around. They have Satan attacking. They're still an enemy of God. They're still a rebel. And they're surrounded. And life drags them down and beats them up. But the picture is that the Christian soldier should remember always that they have peace with God, that their king is coming, that they're delivered from sin, that they have hope. Now remember, though, Satan is the accuser. We looked at his wiles a few weeks ago. Satan would love to trip up a Christian with doubts, especially fears. You don't have peace with God. Little temptations, little snares, little stumbling blocks. Also stumbling blocks to slip into sin. The Ephesians, these people, they lived in a world of temptations. There were temptations to false religion. You read the book of Acts, what they went through in that town of Ephesus. It was magic. There was idolatry. There were excessive lifestyles. There would have been partying and drunkenness and gluttony. They lived with this temptation. Conform with us. Live the worldly life. Deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they didn't, there would be persecution. And so you see, life is this spiritual battlefield. And if you're going to be able to advance, and you're going to move on and not be tripped up, you need to begin and to stand firmly on that gospel of peace. Really trusting and believing in Jesus. You know, foot injuries actually almost wiped out whole battalions in World War I. World War I, you might have heard how thousands of soldiers, they suffered from actually what was called trench foot. They were standing in those wet trenches and came from being in the cold and the muddy trenches. And many, many men, thousands of men, especially in 1914, they came home cripples, unable to fight, not because of bullets and bombs, not because of shrapnel or chemical gas, but actually in 1914, early in the war, before they figured out what was going on, many, many thousands of British, I've read tens of thousands, went home because their feet were not taken care of. They didn't know what to do. Now, it's interesting that their solution actually was, in World War I, that they would look at each other's feet. They actually got paired up early in the war, once they started figuring out what was happening, and they would wash off their feet each day. They would look at each other's feet and they would have to do a buddy system of inspections. They'd have to check and to be careful that nobody was beginning to get that trench foot. And they found out that it was one of those classic cases of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. They managed to almost eradicate trench foot after a year or so of war. There was a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, but if they would tie on those shoes and take care of their feet, all of a sudden there were far less casualties of war. And it's still true today. You know, especially if you work on your feet all day. You can go to the discount store and you can buy a cheap pair of shoes and you'll have a sore back and your feet will be sore and they'll be tired and that shoe will wear out. Or you can spend more money on a pair of boots or shoes that fits well and that lasts and you'll go through life much better. I remember learning this when I first worked in a factory, and the picture you see is the same. If you go out and put on the best shoes, you will be able to stand. You will be able to stand firm. There's some truth to that. A good footwear, it's a foundation to every move we make. But the picture the Apostle Paul is painting, that in binding on the gospel to your feet, going back to the Lord Jesus Christ, being reminded again and again, He is my peace, He is my hope, He is my foundation. That's when you don't stumble. That's when you don't fall. That's when you're able to walk right over the stumbling blocks and to stand firm and to not be pushed back and pushed to the left or pushed to the right. When you are on and in Jesus Christ is when you have that sure footing. And so just as we put on shoes each day before we go out the door to go to work, we should be daily, often reading the Bible, reminded of the gospel especially. We should be memorizing. We should be reciting gospel verses. We should be going to the Lord in prayer. We should be singing the praises of our Redeemer. We should be listening to gospel sermons or reading gospel books, reading passages from Scripture. If we think we've moved beyond that simple, basic gospel, as if you put those boots on once in your life and that's it, we're missing something important. We need to often remind ourselves and others in the church of the good news, to live the good news, to breathe the good news, to make sure it's our foundation. Our lives will become testimonies to the gospel. We'll be a person even who becomes a peacemaker. It's the gospel of peace. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Ephesians 4, earlier in the same epistle, walk worthy of the calling which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. You see, a person who walks on the gospel, has it as their foundation, they begin to seek peace with others. See, we have to remember, our enemy in spiritual warfare, it's not so much other people. It is Satan. It is his army that we looked at a few weeks back. Yes, he uses other people to attack us. But there's a certain hope in the midst of that warfare with Satan and the flesh and the world. A Christian walks on good news of peace shoes. A Christian, fundamentally or foundationally or however you want to put it, they have peace. They have peace with God. They're messengers of peace to those around them. Each one becomes a bearer of good news. Some perhaps have gifts for preaching and teaching in different ways than others. But each one, as they walk on that gospel, they become a bearer of good news. They begin to seek peace with those around them. They proclaim the power of the gospel through their words, through their testimony, through the way they walk. And also they work at being at peace with those that don't even deserve peace. And so you see, this has practical implications. You bind the gospel onto your feet. It's going to change how you treat others and how you live and how you walk with others. But in the end, let us be reminded that each day we'd be faithful to be reminded that we stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ, that we put on the gospel, that we remember God's grace in Jesus Christ. If you find yourself stumbling or wandering in the Christian life, if you find that Satan through the media or whatever else. He's able to push you this way or that way. He's able to get you off track far too easy. The answer is basic. Go back to Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Believe the good news. Return to that firm foundation. Amen. Let us pray.